Happy New Year! What a delight it is to see all of you. Please stand and join us as we worship. Feel free to extend your hands to receive in the posture of worship this morning. I wanted to just read this over us as we start our first service of 2023. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." So let me pray over us as we begin. God, we just are ready to receive your beauty this morning. Jesus, we yield to you our hopes and our dreams for this new year. God, we yield to you and we surrender and we look in anticipation to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
storm. Yeah.
Louder and loud, you're gonna hear my praises loud. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I'm gonna sing
in the middle of the storm.
Restores broken hearts, who refreshes tired spirits, who makes all things new. Let our faith and hope be born again today. Help us to let go of the past, stop looking back, and turn our eyes toward you. We are here today in full acceptance of who we've been, but also in hopeful expectation of who you're shaping us to be. Let your love work in us so you can better work through us. We stand ready, ready to embrace all you have for our lives, ready to do your will, ready to witness the wonders of your mighty hand, ready to share the redeeming love, the perfect grace, the life-changing salvation you have given us. So today, we lift up our voices in praise to the one who washes away our failures, who wipes away our fear and doubt, to the Almighty God who makes all things new.
I want to welcome you guys today. Man, 2023, let's give it up for 2022. Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye, 2022. Hello, 2023. You guys realize that all your same problems that were here yesterday are still here today. Amen? Oh, man. No, we are excited you're here today. If you are a guest or if you've been to Discovery a million times, I want to share with you a handy-dandy little thing we have. It is called a connection card. We would love, if you are a guest today, and you say, man, I want to know what these crazy people are about. I want to talk to someone. I want to get some information. Please fill this out. If you've been here a million times, we would love if you would fill it out as well. There's a great spot where you can put a prayer request. We believe that prayer works, right? So fill that spot in. Or if there's something you want us to celebrate with you, fill that in there too. We would love that so much. Second thing today that we have coming up is we have small groups. We have some cool stuff we're going to show you about small groups up on the screen. And I don't know about you, but whenever I am looking at the new year, I make a resolution. 60, maybe 30% of the time I actually hit that resolution. Anybody else? But for me, I always am aiming to do something new. And for me, small groups is something that in 2023 I want to be more a part of. I want to be more invested in the lives of the people around me. And so we actually have a really cool small group table out here that you can actually talk to people. You can fill out a little card. And I heard there's a raffle on January 22nd. Who here likes a good raffle? Free stuff, come on. You just got to write your name down. So we would love if you would join us in being a part of a small group. We do believe that what we do here on Sunday is super important. We're super glad you're here. But being a part of each other's lives Monday through Saturday, I mean, it's really where we activate as the church. So we would love if you would take part in that. And all in all, we're going to have a great Sunday. We have a new series, and we're going to get back to some worship. Let me pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that we are here today, blurry-eyed, tired, a little too much coffee this morning. I thank you that we get to be a part of your community. I thank you for new things, that you are a God who believes in new things. And that, yes, 2023, January 1st, it's just a date on the calendar. But today, we can start something new. We can make new choices, new decisions. We can choose a new path to walk down. I thank you that we get to do that together, and I thank you that we get to do that today. In your name we pray, amen.
Our fight is with weapons unseen. Your enemies crash to their knees as we rise up in worship. When trials unleash like a flood, the battle belongs to our God as we cry out in worship. Yours, you're riding on the storm. Your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall, your throne withstands it all. Your name is unshaken. The walls of the prison
have won the victory. And we eagerly await your holy anticipation, God. We wait for you. It doesn't change just because it's a new year, God. You have won the victory.
You're always
good. And from everlasting to everlasting, you are the same. Thank you, God.
You're always good, God.
I will love you, Lord. Father God, we thank you again for another year. You are no respecter of persons, and you certainly are no respecter of a calendar. And this day to you is no different than 10,000 other days. But to us, it's just another day to celebrate and remember that you have given us, by your grace and mercy, another heartbeat. You have once again filled our lungs with breath. We don't believe for a moment that you've done this as a reward for our good behavior. But because of your sovereign grace and mercy, you have chosen, handpicked us for this day and this hour to bring you glory. And so may we. May we bring you glory in 2023 by a brilliant and bright faith. May it reverberate through our hearts and our lungs and our life. If it comes in the midst of hardship and darkness and difficult days, then I pray that your rod and your staff will comfort us. And I pray that even in the presence of our enemies, you may spread a table out before us. And I pray that even there in clear sight of the enemies, the difficulty, the challenges, that we might bring you glory in 2023. God, we pray that your church would find her way, that here in this day and this hour when the gospel is so deeply and desperately needed, we pray in Jesus' name that the gospel be seen and felt and experienced, because your people are living out your call to be the redeemed in a city here in Tacoma, God. It is our prayer for this church, Discovery Community Church, would be your hands and your feet. We love you, and in Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 We will, please be seated. At the end. We do it at the end. It's okay. All right. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. I feel like we should do that again. I don't know. Happy New Year. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. I had such a restrained prayer, but the truth is, I really like January 1. It's like in my, I don't know, it's deep down in there. Some of you have been my friends for a long time. So you know me. You like, for me, like September is January, like the fall we get to restart, and January is like January, we get to restart. Shoot, I don't know. February is like January to me. I just like change, you know. I like a fresh start. Anybody? And so it's on this day that we get every year, like all of us, even if you're not a change person, you probably get it that it's like, okay, it's January 1, some stuff has got to change. Anybody there? Okay, so like raise your hand if you know some stuff has got to change in your life in 2023. Okay, all right, good. So half of us are in and half of us are not so sure. So anyway, welcome to 2023, all of us, the in and the not so in. So anyway, I'm glad that you guys are here. And I have some goals, and I don't know if you're somebody who sets New Year's resolutions, but I just want to encourage you. I think you should set goals. Even if you've blown them a lot, it's okay. Blow them another one, you know. Let's go after it again. I think that you should have goals, and I think that there's some things that should be praying. So that's not a verse I'm going to share with you. I don't know if there's a good scripture for that about setting goals, but I think you should set goals. And I'll tell you honestly, I have a few goals. One of my goals in 2023 is to foster faith. So I want to foster faith in my closest relationships. I want to foster faith in, you know, in my city. But I really feel called in 2023 to help us foster faith. And I think that that is deeply scriptural. And I think faith is essential. Would you agree? Some of you? Okay. So faith is essential to the human experience. And as a church, we're walking through the Gospel of Luke. In fact, if you have your Bible, I want you to open to Luke chapter 5. That's where we're going to be today. But you'll notice as we continue this journey through Luke is that one of the hallmarks to Jesus' ministry on earth is faith. So you'll see that Jesus looks for faith. He searches for it in people. He's surprised when he finds it. He's surprised when he doesn't find it, right? So he's often surprised that people have faith, or he's surprised when some people he thought would have faith don't have faith. And he teaches it. He encourages it. He fans the flames of faith over and over and over again throughout his ministry. And one of the reasons Jesus does this is because this old world is hard on faith. Amen? Amen. It is hard. It's exhausting on our faith muscle. Amen? And, you know, I don't know that anybody wakes up and says, you know what, I'm done with faith today. I think what happens is that it just gets exhausted. And some of us wake up one day and say, I'm done with faith. But the truth is, it's been a pattern of years and years and years of having that faith muscle not used or weakened by hurt and loss and grief. And you just wake up one day and feel like it's completely gone. And so we need that faith to be revived sometimes. We need to be restored. We need a jump start. Okay? So in January, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how to jump start your faith. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to walk through Luke. It's still going to be in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to introduce Luke chapter 6. We're just going to plant here, and we're going to see some principles to jump starting, reviving faith. Now, I feel a little bit of an expert when it comes to jump starting. And it's not because I'm a mechanic. I'm not. In fact, I'm pretty bad with cars. I try to talk the lingo, but straight up, me and cars don't get along, okay? Anybody say amen to that? Okay, so I got some amens. And then some of you are like, what? And I just seriously turned in my man card right now. But I'm telling you, I try, but I'm not so good. You know, I'll go out and do something simple on the car, and like 4 hours later, Tracy's like, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Can't get the tire off, you know, it's like, and so that's sort of my journey with cars, and so, but I wanted you to know, I feel like an expert when it comes to jump starting, and it's because I have a car. In fact, I've got an old car that needs to be jump started all the time, all right, and the truth is, I think it's still a good car. This year, it'll turn 15, and so happy birthday, car, but we have paid money to people who are good with cars, and we have taken this car, and honestly, I feel like I've paid enough money. You know, they told me I can pay more. I could just keep paying money, but we've come to kind of an agreement that there's a problem with the car. Isn't that amazing? You take it to a mechanic, and you give them a lot of money, like, you know what? You got a problem. And so we've landed that this car, that's, I said, a pretty good car, it has a drain. It has a leak in the electrical system. It's called a leak. And what happens is it drains. And to be honest, that sounds bad and scary, but most of the time, it's not a problem. We've discovered with this little car that if it has a really good battery, so if it's connected to a good power source, you're seeing that this preaches, right? Connected to a good power source. And second, it has we practice good daily driving habits. Ooh, that preaches too, okay? That this car is never a problem. Amen, Tracy? Okay, never mind. Just stay right there. Okay, so for the most part, it's not. What's that? Yeah, you keep them handy. So we have jumper cables in the back seat, not in the trunk, by the way, because the trunk only opens with a button if there's electricity. It's a great design. Okay. So we keep them in the back seat so we can unlock the one door that unlocks with the key, and you crawl over and get it. Okay, so. Yeah, so, but honestly, what I've discovered about jumpstarting this car is that like 90% of the time, if we are connected to a good battery, we practice these good daily driving habits, this preaches, okay, that it's not a problem. But then sometimes, as guys, you kind of are seeing that there is a little bit of a marriage issue here, okay, so sometimes it is a very big problem, okay? And one of the things I've discovered is that we never realize that the car needs to be jump-started in a convenient time, right? It's never like when you're like, oh, I got like 3 hours, what would I do? Oh, I should go jump the car just for fun. That never happens. When do you think we find out the car needs to be jumped? Yeah, when we're running late and we need it now. That's the only time we ever discover it. Now, in all honesty, jumping a car is not a big deal. OK, Okay, it doesn't take a lot of know-how, expertise. It doesn't even really take a lot of time. The problem is in that crisis, when you need it to operate right now, much like our faith, right? When you need it to operate right now, all of a sudden, I have four friends that always show up to help. Now, I think friends may be the wrong word, because they're not friendly. They're not even helpful in the process, okay? And I would like to call them acquaintances that get in the way. Now, I mean this, every time that the car needs to be jumped and we need it now, four friends show up, come up next to me, next to the car, and like, so John, I see you have a problem. Here's friend number one. I call him, let's see, I have him here. I call him Blame. Anybody? You guys familiar? You got a friend called Blame? So when this car needs to be operating now, instead of just moving ahead, by the way, if you're taking notes, you should write down the phrase, move ahead. We're going to come back to it several times today. When we need to move ahead, and it's so simple to jump a car and we can get back on the road, do you know what happens? My friend Blame shows up and says, hey, I know you didn't cause this, but I wonder who did. I wonder who didn't follow the daily routines. Maybe we should go and involve your wife or one of your four kids who doesn't practice the daily routines that we agreed on. This happens because somebody else caused this. Amen? Okay, and so now again, instead of moving ahead, okay, and fixing the problem, me and my friend Blame just get hotter and hotter and frustrated next to the car. Now, my friend Blame also brings another friend. They're kind of connected at the hip, and his name is Shame. You guys familiar with Shame? So Blame is sitting there trying to make sure that Tracy's at fault for this whole thing, all right? That's what Blame is doing the whole time. Like, we're just standing there, getting hotter and hotter, but my friend Shame comes along and says, I can never have anything nice. I can't have a car that operates. Why, God, do you hate me? It's just who I am. I will never have a car at the worst. You guys are familiar with the friend Shame? Okay, and so instead of, again, ladies and gentlemen, I told you that we keep those jumper cables in the backseat of the car. It takes very little time to get them out. But instead of getting the cables out, we're arguing on the side of the road, and then we're stuck in this shame pit that we're always going to be this way, and it'll never change, and it's just who I am. Well, really close to Shame is another friend. I told you they're not really my friends, acquaintances. But as I have this other friend that comes along and just kind of circles up with the four of us, and his name is Compare. You guys know Compare? So while I'm saying, why God, why me, why can't I ever have a car that was made in this century and operates, and I just want to go to Winco, and I just can't, why, you know, and all that kind of stuff, all of a sudden I start saying, you know, my friend down the street, Heather, her car always works. And I wish I had a car like hers. Amen? Amen, neighbor? Yeah. In fact, the truth is I've never seen Heather have a problem one. And I wish I had her life. Anybody? You guys ever do this? And you're like, man, she's got a great car, great life, and here I am stuck on the side of the road. Again, where are the jumper cables? They're just in the back seat. We actually could have been on the road by this time, right? We could have been moving ahead at this time, but we're stuck in this miserable place with these miserable friends or acquaintances stuck. And then all of a sudden, my last friend comes along. I'll be real honest, the last friend I like a lot of times, okay? The last friend is fun. He always dresses nice. He's got a smile on his face. And his name is Nostalgia. Like, to be honest, nostalgia is one of our friends, particularly at Christmas time. Like, who doesn't love this little nostalgia at Christmas time, you know? You sit and you pull out the old pictures, and you talk about the old times, and you drink the old kind of stuff, and you eat the old kind of foods, you know, the foods that your mama made, and your grandma made, and your grandma before her made, right? And we all love a little nostalgia, right? But nostalgia always gets in the way of moving forward. Nostalgia sits there on the side of the road and says something like this. You know, my dad never had this issue. My dad's car always seemed to work. Sometimes my wife will remind me, she'll say, you know, my dad's car was always clean. You know, I remember back in the good old days when cars were, anybody? Simpler. Anybody remember the simple days? Cars were, you hear people say this all the time. Anybody could open up the hood of a car and fix it, right? The good old days, things were simpler back then. Everything worked. There were no problems. Life was easy. You ever do that? That's my friend nostalgia. And nostalgia is fun a lot of times, but he's completely in the way when I need to, what's the two words again? When I need to move ahead. These are the kind of friends that men and women have been wrestling with from the beginning of time. These are the kind of friends that are getting in the way of what God wants to do in your life right now. And these are the kind of friends that Jesus dealt with 2,000 years ago and still dealing with today. I'd like you to read with me. We're going to read an encounter that Jesus has. And he's going to address these four friends. This is in Luke chapter 5. If you want, read along with me. And we're going to read verses 33 through 39. They are the religious leaders. Okay, think Pharisees, okay? You guys are familiar a little bit, religious leaders in Jesus' time, Pharisees, Sadducees. They said to Jesus, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Now Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and those days they will fast. And then verse 36, Jesus tells them the story of this parable. He says, nobody tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. Verse 37, Jesus says, and by the way, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wine. Must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. Most of us in this room have heard this analogy about new wineskins. True? Everybody? Okay. So we've heard about this a lot. I think there's some really bad teaching on this. And so what we want to do today is we want to try to understand what it is that Jesus is saying here. Jesus is encouraging the people of his day in everybody's sense to, watch this, move ahead. Jesus, when he arrived on planet Earth, when he was walking 2,000 years ago, he did not land in a spiritual or religious vacuum. He didn't show up in a place where people were not aware of their needs or thirsty or hungry for God. In fact, Jesus arrived on planet Earth in a time that was really rich with religious and spiritual fervor. The people in Jesus' day were hungry for change and had been hungry for change for a long time. They have been under other nations' rules and other governments for hundreds of years. They wanted their own autonomy. They wanted their own nation. They wanted their own freedom. They have been longing for it and craving for it for a long, long, long time. Recently, things have changed. The temple has been rebuilt. There is now hope, a glimmer of hope, that God might just bring that change. And so there was a religious fervor among the leaders, the religious leaders, and the entire nation. We have got to do the work to bring change. Now, Jesus comes along, and in Luke chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6, Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry. He's assembling his guys. He is building this new movement. It's going to be called The Way. Okay, it's this new movement of men and women who follow Jesus that's going to turn the world upside down. Now, these religious leaders who've been aching and longing for change, they watch something about Jesus. He is not following the rules. He is not aching for the movement of God like they've been aching. In fact, that's why they come to Jesus and they say this real simple question. He says, your disciples go on eating and drinking. Now, this isn't just a simple curiosity. This is an accusation. We're trying to get something done here, Jesus, and you're standing in the way. So scholars say that during this time, when they talk about prayer and fasting, they're not talking about a simple religious exercise. They're talking about our four friends. They're rolling around in shame. We've been forgotten by God. God has turned his back from us. We're under the wrath of God day in and day out, and we carry this, so we fast 2-3 times a week because we wallow in this shame. They compare. For hundreds of years, we've not had our own leaders, our own king, our own armies. We want to be like all the rest. Let's go back to the good old days. There was a day way back when everything was right and sweet. We want to go back to the days of David and the days of Solomon when things were so awesome and so easy. And by the way, Jesus, you and your guys are standing in the way. Fourth friend, blame. Day in and day out, we're trying to bring about change by listening to these four friends. And how does Jesus respond? Let's read it again. This is Jesus' response. He says, let me tell you a story. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. We don't use wineskins today. But back in Jesus' day and time, it was customary for people to store their wine and other things in the skins of animals. And so I think most of us probably understand how wine is made, but early in the stages of wine, it's still expanding, giving off gases. And so you'd want to put that in some fresh leather that has some elasticity and can change and grow, right? You don't want to put it in that that cherished wineskin that's been in the family for generations, that has got a, you said, patina. It's this beautiful wineskin that hangs on the wall that every Christmas you get out, that you use to decorate, that you use for special occasions. Jesus says, that's not what you're going to use. It has its place. It has a sweet moment. It has some moments where you can look back to tradition. But if you want to see some new movement in your life, you get some new, fresh wineskins that can move and change. That's what you use. Let me keep reading. He says, nobody pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. No one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. Hear what Jesus is saying? God wants you to move ahead. You're stuck. You're stuck because of your four friends that you've gotten way too comfortable with. Blame, shame, compare, and nostalgia. And they're eating your lunch. And it's time for you to move ahead. And the only way to move ahead is to make some changes today. And what are the changes that are necessary in 2023? Now, the whole month of January, we're going to talk about how to jumpstart your faith. But today, just for a few minutes, I just want to zero in, kind of laser focus in on this idea, how does a guy really move ahead when you've grown so comfortable with these friends? And so I'm going to share just three real practical things. If you want to move ahead, number one, you have to be tired, legitimately tired of sitting still. I mean, if you're going to jump start the car, you've got to have some frustration. I said earlier that it only comes in inconvenient times. You've got to be inconvenienced. Because straight up, if you're very comfortable with where you are, all the rest of the stuff I'm going to talk about, and talk about all the month of January, is of little use to you. You have got to be in a little bit moment of your life where you're like, I'm tired of sitting in the same place, having the same conversations, doing the same things, falling in the same hole. I'm just tired of sitting still. If we're going to jumpstart that car, we both have to look and say, you know what? The car's got a problem, and I'm tired of it sitting here. Let's get the jumper cables out of the back seat. I am ready for a change. You know, this is honestly what Jesus has always been looking for. He's been always looking for men and women who are ready to. There's a Bible word for this. It's called repent. I know in 2023 now, when we hear the word repent, we think of that second friend's shame. But that's not what the Bible means when it talks about repent. God's not looking for you to walk around convinced that you're living under the wrath of God and God hates you and you're never going to have anything nice. That's not the Bible definition of repentance. The Bible definition of repentance is this: I'm tired of sitting in the same place. I want to go a new direction. The two verses preceding what we just read, verses 31 and 32, I want you to hear what Jesus says. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the... It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the what? The sick. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus is not suggesting that there's a group of people on planet Earth that got it all figured out, like the righteous. He didn't say, like, there are a bunch of people who already got it all, and I'm not coming to see them. What Jesus is saying is this: there's a bunch of people who think they've got it all. I didn't come for them. I came for the people who are ready for a change, who are ready to move forward. I love this in Luke 15. It says, in the same way, Jesus says this, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. Let me think about this for a minute. All of heaven is just sitting like in a stadium, watching planet Earth, a game on the field. And all of the angels in heaven are waiting for just one of us, to cross the goal line by saying, I'm tired of sitting still. The moment a man or woman says, I'm just tired of doing the same things day in and day out, all of heaven erupts. They do a wave. Because a guy woke up and said, you know what? Enough of this. A woman woke up and said, enough of this. And heaven erupts in applause. That's amazing. Isn't that cool? Let's go on to the second step. Again, we're kind of breaking it down. Like, how do you move ahead? The best intentions don't do it. Number one, it starts with saying, I'm tired of sitting still. Number two, it's acknowledging that I don't have what I need. I don't possess it. What I need, I do not possess right now at this very moment. I cannot do it on my own. This is the core of the gospel message. Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, writes about this moment when Paul and Silas are in a prison. You guys remember this? Paul and Silas are in a prison at midnight. They're chained up unjustly, right? And at midnight, anybody remember what they're doing at midnight? They're praising. They decide they're going to have worship service in a dark, dank, miserable prison, sitting there because they've been unjustly put there. They just start worshiping in this prison. And what happens? Anybody? The doors fly open, man. There's like this earthquake. The doors fly open, and all of a sudden, everybody's free. Okay? That preaches too, right? Like, you worship in a dark place, and boom, there's freedom, okay? Now, the jailer wakes up in the middle of this worship service where the prisoners are set free. I love this. He wakes up, he's like, the prisoners set free? This is terrible. So, okay, he's got the complete opposite reaction to this worship service, right? And it's so bad
Because in his day and time, he was responsible. His life was responsible. If a prisoner escaped, him, his family, were to pay. So he, in the middle of his panic, decides he's going to end his life. What he discovers is that Paul and Silas, who were set free, hadn't moved. They didn't run. And they see him. And they say, hey, don't. Don't take your life, man. We're still here. He was freaked out that he was going to lose his life, but he's even more freaked out that these free guys chose to stay right there with him. That he breaks down and he says, let's read it. Acts chapter 16. The jailer called for lights and he rushed in and he fell trembling down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out of the prison himself. And then he asked, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to experience this transformation that you clearly have experienced that I have not done? How can I experience this supernatural change in my life? And Paul replies, believe in Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your entire household. Paul says, acknowledge that you need something that you don't have. You can't save yourself. You can't fix this yourself. You do not, on your own, have what it takes to fix you. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And he says, and at that moment, when you acknowledge it, you will be saved, you and your entire household. Jesus said, I am the way. Not you. I am the way. And I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And if that didn't make it clear enough, no one comes to the Father except through me. You might be tired of where you're sitting, but are you tired of trying? Are you ready to recognize that you need something that you don't have on your own? And then here's the third step to moving ahead. Just say yes. When Jesus in verse 38 said, no new wine must be poured into new wineskins, I want you to know that Jesus is inviting his listeners then and everyone since to say yes. And he goes on to acknowledge, he said, listen, old wineskins and old wine, people love it. People can get stuck in that. People can become addicted to that old wine. And no blaming you there. But if you want to change, if you want the Spirit of the living God to come sweeping into your life, make a decision today. Say yes to me. This is what Jesus is doing with the old wineskins, the new wineskins. He's inviting you and I to finally say yes. Say yes once. Matthew 11 says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What do I mean by saying once? I mean, you got to say it. It's one of the sad things in Christendom is there's so many people that are like, I don't know. I'm just trying, man. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you said, Jesus, I'm all in with you. Jesus, I'm asking you to save me and be my Lord and Savior. There needs to be a moment in your life where you say it. You say it once. And when you do that, he comes rushing in. I love 1 John 1:9. It says, if you confess your sins, he forgives you and purifies you from all unrighteousness. I wonder how many of us never experience the grace and forgiveness of God because we've just never come before him and said, God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm no longer trying to be good and religious, and I'm just asking you to save me. Say it once. That's why we practice baptism. Next week, we're going to baptize a couple people. That's why we practice that. Baptism is not a sign that you've arrived, that it's not another step in your, you know, path to becoming a better human being. It's a declaration to everybody that you don't have what it takes, but you said yes to Jesus, and he's come sweeping into your life because of that moment. Amen? Amen. Say yes once. Here's the second part of saying yes. Say yes with gratitude. There's a stark difference between Jesus and Jesus' disciples and the rest of the religious movement at the day, right? Did you catch the beginning part? Jesus said, how on earth could my disciples be fasting and praying and mourning, hanging out with the four friends day in and day out? They're like at the wedding feast. They're hanging out with the bridegroom. The party is on, man. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's here. God's here right now. Me, I'm the very Son of God. I'm here. These guys are walking under the umbrella of God's mercy and grace, and you want them to walk around with lame and shame. Lame, I like that too. Lame and blame and shame. The truth is that Jesus, and listen, you and I are 2,000 years on the other side of the cross. Jesus has come. The grave is empty. He has provided victory for you and I. You and I, as Jesus followers in 2023, we ought to walk in gratitude, not shame. Amen? Day in and day out, we ought to be celebrating. Yes, everything's not perfect. Yes, my car still needs to be jump-started, but my soul can live vibrant because Jesus has been risen from the grave. Amen? So live with gratitude. I love what Paul says in the book of Colossians. He says, be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with. You guys just mumbled that out. Maybe it wasn't up there long enough. Overflowing with what? Paul says this is how you grow, man. That's what Paul's saying in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. He's like, be rooted, grow up. He says, this is how you grow. You get up every day and you're like, God, thank you. You gave me another day. I wouldn't have given me another day. I am a screw up. But the truth is Jesus, you rose from the grave. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. I've been saved and redeemed. Thank you. That's amazing. Amen? Amen. So yes, walk in gratitude. And the third part about saying yes is say yes with steps, man. Say yes with steps. Live differently. You guys already know the story, and it's getting kind of late, so I won't make it too long, but you know the story of the lady who is dragged in front of Jesus. They say in John 8 that she was caught in the act of adultery. You guys remember this story? It's a heartbreaker of a story. There's so many nuances to this, and so it it's just rich with abuse. It's just painful to even read and really talk about the story. But you guys remember that at some point in the story, Jesus, he's writing his finger in the sand. You guys remember this? And the people before him scribbling in the sand, they were already gathering like rocks and stones, and not little ones. They were gathering the heaviest ones they could throw, jagged. And they were preparing to kill this woman. And after Jesus does his finger in the sand, what happens? You guys remember? He actually does it a couple times, and the second time he gets up, and everyone's gone. All the accusers have left. They either dropped their rocks, they took them with them, and it's just Jesus and that woman. By the way, she's likely still standing there wrestling with some of the same friends. Okay? And then Jesus looks at her and he says, does anybody still condemn you? She looks around. I think she probably said something like, I guess not. And then Jesus says the coolest thing, John 8:11. He says, then neither do I condemn you. I freed you from these four friends. I have freed you from these four friends. They're not part of the moving ahead movement. And then he says this little phrase. Let me read it to you. He says, go now. Go now and leave your life of sin. He says, take some steps. You've experienced freedom. you mentioned forgiveness. You experienced forgiveness and freedom. No more condemnation. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your yes into motion. I want you to go now. Jesus said in Mark chapter 5, when he healed a man, he said, go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Go. In Matthew chapter 28, the last portion of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, therefore, anybody? Therefore, everybody? Yeah, therefore, go. Get up. Take some steps forward into the mission and work God today, now. Don't stay where you are. Amen? Say yes to God. First step in the process of jumpstarting your faith, ladies and gentlemen, in January is this. Move ahead. Move ahead. And it's no more complicated than this. You say, I'm tired of sitting here. I recognize that I've learned in a hard way, like a harsh way, I've learned that I do not have the power to get out of this mess or to reconcile this mess between God and myself. And while all of heaven is rejoicing at us awakening to that, Jesus waits for you to simply say yes. Say yes once. Say yes with gratitude. And say yes with steps. So today, we're going to take a few moments. And we're going to take an opportunity to say yes. We're going to do that while we take the Lord's Supper. Do we have the elements? Does everybody have the elements for the Lord's Supper? I want you to take those out. If you don't have them, we're going to have some people there make them available. You guys have done this a few times, so probably know that you can pull the top section off. Pull the other section. And I want you to first pull out the wafer. And we're going to take this morning as remembrance of what Jesus has done. Jesus, you came and you walked on planet Earth not simply to confront the injustices of the world through your teaching, but you, the one and only Son of God, became human like me. You felt the pain of planet Earth, the challenges, and yet you remained sinless. And then at the end of your life, you surrendered yourself to be broken. You surrendered yourself to be broken. For the one purpose of me being healed, of me being whole. And I want to say this morning, thank you for coming. I want to encourage you, take and eat. John says, after supper, that last supper, Jesus poured a wine into a cup, and they all drank from it. And he said, this wine represents the new covenant in my blood. It's a promise, a new promise, that because of the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection on the third day, regular people like you and me can have new life. in celebration of that, take and drink. Now, if you would, I'm going to invite you just to pray with me. In fact, I'm going to invite a couple of people. I'm going to invite Tad. If Charles is in the room, if you can come down too. Barb, if you would make yourself available up here. I want to invite you for a few moments to pray with me. If there's some specific things that you know you need to have God address this morning, and you can do it on your own, you can do it right in your seats, but you may need to have a friend. And I want you to know these are some of the most awesome people, and they'd be more than happy to pray with you and be a friend with you this morning. And I'm going to start this prayer time by praying a prayer that changed my life and has changed so many others' lives. It's a saying yes to God prayer. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me if you'd like. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I'm saying yes to you today, January 1, 2023. Jesus, will you save me? Will you save me, this broken person, and make me whole? In Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. The band's going to play a song. And while they're playing, if you would like to come and pray, please come and pray. And then at the end of the song, we've got a couple more things. And one is with that we're going to have a giving back to God moment after the end of the song. So if you'd like to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit for a few moments, you can sit. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. us the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those so holy, holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes.
Grateful to start our new year worshiping and being reminded of your grace and your mercy that's just been showered all over us, Father. Whatever is in front of us in 2023, I pray, Father, that this family would face it with faith, courage, strength. And Father, I pray that we would turn away from old friends that have stood in the way of the forward movement of God in our lives and in your church and in this world that have won over and over and over again in 2023. I pray that they would not win anymore, Father. I pray that you might ignite in us a vibrant faith that is infectious. I'm praying that you fill this auditorium with men and women whose lives have been changed and transformed by the gospel, by the God's gift of the cross and the empty grave on the third day. And I pray that this room would be filled with men and women who are experiencing transformation that is changing everything in their lives. God, I pray that in 2023, we'd have another service. I mean, two auditoriums filled with people that are experiencing transformation because of what you accomplished on the cross and the empty grave. But may it start in these hands, these feet, be seated just for one more moment. This is our giving back to God moment, and we're going to be passing some baskets. If you would drop in your connection card, some of you may want to use this as a way to give back tithes and offerings. You can do that as well. There are other ways to do that. And while we're doing this, I'm just going to take down my friends. Amen? Let's put them away. Some of us here need to do that. Amen? Okay, so I decided while I was over there on the side, I was like, I'm not leaving those guys up there. They have got to go. Compare, blame, shame, and even, everybody? Yeah. I mean, 2022 really wasn't as good as we imagined. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. Nor was 2021. Or how about 2019 pre-COVID? It wasn't as good as we remember, friends. We're not trying to go back. Amen? And I pray that we don't try to go back. I pray that we as a church, we try not to go back. I pray that in your marriage, that you do not try to go back, right? I pray that in your family, that you don't try to go back. I pray that you move ahead. Amen? Amen. Next week, we are going to be celebrating some baptisms, and we could also celebrate yours. If you would like to be baptized and start the new year off, some of you have never been baptized, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, I would encourage you to consider following that up. You can chat with me after the service. I'd love to talk with you more about that. And guys, it was a total joy. I look forward to what God's going to do. Have a fantastic new year. God bless you. And the band's going to play a little bit. Can you guys play a little? Play a little? In fact, if you want to sing that song again, that was good, or at least part of it. You guys want that a little bit? Play a little of that. And we'll see you next week. God bless.